Well, first and foremost, I'm a mother. That's my most important thing. And I suppose there's not an order, but I also am an artist and a writer. And more recently, since I gave birth to Lumen 6.5 years ago, I've tried to do as much research as possible with autism and just get involved in any way I can with autism, which now means being a parent governor at his school and doing loads of training, as much training as I can involving autism, and just helping the entire autistic community in whatever way I can. I've just been asked by the head teacher at his school to assist the assistant director of SEN for the Biborough in helping families. And whether that means transport, whether that means their acclimation when they first start, whether that means what happens outside of school in their home, just to help the family. So yeah, I guess that's my role. I think the most important challenge is other people. I think judgments and a constant, I'm depending on the age, Lumen's age, 6 years old, I think it's trying to acclimate to society or trying to live in a society that wants you to acclimate to it, as opposed to the society itself accepting you as you are. And I think even at 6 years old, you're aware of that, because like Keith mentioned, you know, taking off the shoes, my son doesn't like to wear shoes ever. And you walk in the school and it's a fantastic thing. No one's wearing shoes. Loads of the children aren't wearing shoes. And it's almost like, you know, I joke, but in a way, I mean, we joke kindheartedly that Lumen's our alien and he's found his planet. I mean, there's everyone so loving of him and adoring of him at the school, and they get it and they don't judge him. And it's a big deal for them to feel safe there. So that's what I would say for the younger ones. For the older ones, I think that the fact that other people are judging them becomes even more serious, and they don't feel like they fit in anywhere, and they don't feel accepted anywhere, anywhere, even meaning their own home, by their own parents, on public transport, whatever their life involves, wherever they are. I think they feel like they're being judged and disliked even. And you know, it's not nice as a neurotypical individual to have to hear whispers about you, but I can imagine as an autistic individual, it's 100 times worse, because there's nothing you can do. This is who you are. You know, like I mentioned before, it's like being left-handed. It's a difference. That's all it is a difference. So I haven't talked to enough of the older children to understand, and quite a few of them are nonverbal, so it's difficult to communicate. But I would imagine judgments must be one of the most difficult things. I mean, the government labels it as disability. You know, several of the children at the school get disability living allowance, and there are, they are offered certain things, but it's not a I don't see it as a disability at all. I see it as a gift. And I have mother friends who have autistic children who say, oh, if it's a gift, I don't want it, let's give it back, jokingly. But it's such an incredible gift, and Lumen's landed in the exact right family. And I think the head teacher has chosen me to be a governor to be an advocate of, you know, look outside yourself, look at everything that your child is offering you. And, you know, like Keith was saying, he thinks about things differently. You know, Lumen, he especially likes to take his shoes off when he's on a corner of a crossing, which those bumps are put there for blind people, but he likes the feeling under his feet. And every time we cross, I think how difficult life must be for him, but for a blind person, or everything he does, he likes the credits rolling in films at the end. He could watch the credits for days. And I think, wow, I have such an appreciation now for what a gaffer is. And I'm learning all these things because he's made me curious about this. And there's a rhythm even to the credits at the end. Certain things that he sees, shadows, he hears things other people don't hear. It's just, I've become, you know, super sensory just because of him. I've started to listen differently because of him, see things differently. And, you know, we mentioned ABA, and this is why I'm adamantly opposed to ABA, because it's the exact opposite of that. It's saying everything you see differently, feel differently, can't do like I can do, I just want to oppress it. I don't want you showing your individualistic ways. I don't want you acting crazily, or, you know, however they would categorize it or describe it. Instead, it's suppressing everything that's beautiful and everything that I think is needed and necessary in this world. There's some Temple Grandin quote that I always forget, but it's something about, you know, if there were 5 neurotypical individuals in a cave, they'd be stuck in the cave forever. Whereas, if, you know, if there was 1 autistic individual amongst 4 neurotypical people, they'd manage to find a way out of that cave. And I think it's brilliant. It's so true. The way I've been exposed to the thinking, and quite a few of them are nonverbal, so they communicate in different ways. But what I've been exposed to is extraordinary. What I've seen, you know, they're not all, it's a spectrum. They're not all going to draw amazing things from memory. They're not going to, you know, it's not Rain Man. But the little things that they do differently are extraordinary. And to say that we need to, as neurotypical individuals, ask them to subscribe to our way of life is not the way. It should be the opposite. And I'm ready to spearhead this campaign and be the one that says, you know, let us join you. You don't need to join us. I know some students at Queen's Mill School who've had ABA and have, to this day, the parents have regretted it and said, I can't believe I put my child through that. And I read this in a paper, I think it was in an American paper, and I just wanted to read it because Keith and I have read it several times, and I pass it to everyone that I've met who I'm trying to introduce autism to. It's a quote by Ari Newman, the president of the Autistic Self Advocacy Network. It's a US group, right? You probably are aware of them. But he says, we don't think it is possible to fundamentally rewire our brains to change the way we think and interact with the world. But even if such a thing were possible, we don't think it would be ethical. He and others argue that autism is akin to homosexuality or left-handedness, a difference, but not a deficiency or something pathological. Neurodiversity activists are troubled by the aspects of behavioral therapy that they think are designed less for the well-being of autistic people and more for the comfort of others. I think he's alluding to ABA. This is Ari's quote. Eye contact is an anxiety-inducing experience for us, so suppressing our natural inclination not to look someone in the eye takes energy that might otherwise go toward thinking more critically about what the person may be trying to communicate. We have a saying that's pretty common amongst autistic young people. I can either look like I'm paying attention, or I can actually pay attention. Unfortunately, a lot of people tell us that looking like you're paying attention is more important than actually paying attention. I feel exactly the same, that he's landed in the right family. And I've struggled with this because lately Lumen's become quite violent. And, you know, you do think, I mean, looking at you, you seem content, but it's difficult to tell, and it's difficult for Lumen to express himself. So sometimes I wonder, is he really happy? You know, he's crying or he's violent. Am I doing the best thing for him? And it's so difficult to tell him, would he be happier in a home eventually? Not for my own sake, for his sake. Am I not enough for him? Does he want more social stimulation? Because to be honest, when we're here alone together, you know, these two are chatterboxes. And so when Lumen and I are alone, it's so nice. It's quiet and there's no guesswork as far as conversations go. And, you know, I've tried to tell Enlai there's such a thing as the economy of language. Let's just use a few words now. And he's changed my whole idea of what language is. But I just want him to be happy. And I want him, hopefully, to be able to tell me if he's happy.